Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Happy Friday, also known as International Women's Day. I don't know that that means anything in the modern day and age. I don't know that it ever meant anything, considering we currently don't even know what a woman is. And the stories that we're going to talk about are insane, and they're going to highlight that reality. Let me know down below in the comments what you think about International Women's Day. I know a lot of people think that it's really important to sort of empower women on this day, but don't we also have like International Donut Day and other stuff like that? I don't know how much this actually means. Are you guys honoring the women in your lives today? And shouldn't y'all be doing that every day? I don't know. This kind of back and forth, creating days for things, doesn't really make much sense to me. Although, you know, I love women. I support good women. As long as they're around and doing things that I can get behind, that's okay with me. Now, before we get into today's stories, we do have Taylor in Nashville.
Oh, hello. And yes, happy International Women's Day, whether we need it or not. My question is, do we have an International Men's Day as well? If not, what are we really doing here? Then are we creating this narrative that we need a women one, but we don't need a men one? Then we get into some trouble there. But for what it's worth, happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, we don't celebrate men anymore. So that's a no-no. It's not going to happen. But you know what? There is somebody who is calling out men every single day. And that's our segue into our first absolutely insane story. And it is, again, surrounding J.K. Rowling. I will keep talking about J.K. Rowling on this channel. She is that girl. She is the one. She is holding it down for actual women's rights and defending her views when it comes to the trans agenda that is constantly circulating here in the United States and elsewhere. Now, she's been getting in a little bit of trouble. Not really. I don't think she's actually going to get in trouble once we get into the real updates on this story. But she has been accused of misgendering a trans broadcaster by the name of India Willoughby. Now, India Willoughby is actually a biological man, and it seems as though J.K. Rowling has pointed out that reality and has now been accused of a hate crime and misgendering. Now, let's hear it from India Willoughby himself. And yes, I did say himself. Arrest me. I tweeted out this morning, I said, if misgendering becomes illegal, your girl's going straight to jail. Expeditiously. I'm going straight to jail. I am going to tell the truth. I am so sorry, but be so for real right now. And we're going to talk about today the actual possibility that misgendering becomes illegal. There have been several people who have been accused of misgendering, some of whom were even arrested, and not only arrested, convicted. We're going to get to that in just a moment on International Women's Day. What a time to be alive. Now let's hear from India Willoughby on the misgendering that he endured from J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling has definitely committed a crime. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman. And she calls me a man. It's a protected characteristic. And that is a breach of both the Equalities Act and the Gender Recognition Act. She's tweeted that out to 14 million followers. If you check out the accounts that have been responding to me on the back of that, her trigger, it's absolutely disgusting, putrid, some of the worst abuse I've ever seen on social media. And I know I'm at the center of it, and I might be a little bit biased.
Well, what are you going to do about this?
What am I going to do about it? Well, I've been to the police and I've reported it as an issue. I contacted Northumbria Constabulary yesterday.
So you reported J.K. Rowling
I have reported J.K. Rowling to the police for what she said, which I don't know that if that's going to be treated as a hate crime, malicious communications, but it's a cut and dried offence as far as I'm concerned. And at the end of the day, it is a hate crime. Trans gender identity is a protected characteristic, just as race is, just as sexuality is. And the equivalent of what J.K. Rowling said, calling a trans person a man, deliberately knowing that that person is a woman, and I am a woman, regardless of what J.K. Rowling says. I've been through everything that's required of me. My birth certificate says female. My passport, all of my documents, I am legally recognized as a woman. And for J.K. Rowling to deliberately, and that is the key word, misgender me, knowing who I am is grossly offensive. It is a hate crime, and it should be treated just as somebody calling a black person the N-word or an Asian person the P-word or a...
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. It should be treated the same as calling a black person the N-word, which, again, you do have, you know, full right to call somebody that, at least in the United States. Now, how that's going to go for you as far as their retaliation, I don't know. I highly wouldn't recommend it. But listen to the amount of victimhood that is being stated here. And the hoops that this person is claiming to have jumped through are just like hoops of what? Legality, you know, getting documented as female, getting a passport that says you are female. That by no means changes the truth. And the truth that J.K. Rowling is willing to stand up for and say out loud that this is a biological male. And the fact that this person thinks that they should be able to go to the police and accuse J.K. Rowling of a hate crime and harassment for doing this is a level of delulu that I could only aspire to feel one day. This is insane. Now, the police, I guess, took this accusation seriously. Seriously at first. And of course, J.K. Rowling decided to respond. It was not just going to lay down and take this. Here's J.K. Rowling's response to India Willoughby. It says, "Some time ago, lawyers advised me that not only did I have a clearly winnable case against India Willoughby for defamation, but that India's obsessive targeting of me over the past few years may meet the legal threshold for harassment." So this has been an ongoing, I guess, beef, if you will, of them going back and forth. J.K. says, "I ignored this advice because I couldn't be bothered giving India the publicity he so clearly craves. Nevertheless, we must all do our bit to combat hate. So India will be glad to know that I've taken notes of his homophobia, racism, and humane stance on immigration." And India has a ton of different posts and writings that point out this, you know, so-called homophobia and racism, since he so apparently wants to accuse J.K. Rowling of being full of hatred and even go as far as to have her convicted of a hate crime. J.K. Rowling also tweets out, "Nor have I forgotten India's shocking transphobia. It appears to have slipped what passes for India's mind that he's previously called a fellow trans woman a man on this very site." And here is the evidence. India Willoughby tweeted out, "What? I think it's fairly clear, anonymous pork chop, you're a turfy worfy. Debbie is a man who campaigns against trans rights. How many trans women campaign against themselves? Not the full shilling." And of course, the Debbie that is being referred to as a man in this tweet is actually a trans woman who identifies as a woman. So India Willoughby has decided to knowingly misgender somebody on the platform X, much like J.K. Rowling is being accused of doing to India. So you know what? If you're gonna, you know, try to come and flame me and come after me, I'm gonna do the same to you, is essentially what J.K. Rowling is doing here, and is standing up for herself, which, again, I can give her all the support in the world for standing 10 toes down on the truth, because that's what it is. It's not misgendering. It is simply telling the truth in a world full of lies. Okay, she's telling the truth in a world full of lies. Now, the guy who was initially responsible for interviewing India Willoughby in that clip also came after J.K. Rowling and had somewhat of a mental breakdown, referring to J.K. Rowling as a putrid C-word, okay, on X, coming after her, throwing all this different offensive language at J.K. Rowling, and this morning, it seems, has come to his senses and decided to apologize, saying this, "I apologize unreservedly, J.K. Rowling. I'm completely sorry for my behavior towards J.K. Rowling last night, and I apologize to her for the unforgivable and inexcusable language used. It won't happen again." J.K. Rowling goes on to accept this apology, saying, "I'd ask any supporters of mine to give him grief and to stop now. And please stop now. I didn't ask for this apology. It was made spontaneously, and a good faith gesture deserves equal good faith from the other side." And that reporter goes on to apologize profusely yet again and said that he made a horrible mistake and that he, in fact, has learned to respect J.K. Rowling and appreciates her for accepting the apology. So not only is J.K. Rowling coming forward standing up for herself, standing up against lies. It seems as though she's actually moving the needle quite a bit and changing people's minds. And we have an update as far as the accusation made by India Willoughby from the police that says here. India Willoughby's accusation that author J.K. Rowling misgendered him online did not, quote, meet the criminal threshold from the Northumbria police. And no one saw this coming, apparently. I saw it coming. Because anybody who has their mind intact knows that J.K. Rowling did the right thing and called somebody by what they actually are. And this would set a really dangerous precedent, and unfortunately it's a precedent that has already been set, and we're going to get to some future stories here that do not involve J.K. Rowling. Think about the idea that you could be placed in jail or fined or convicted of a crime for calling somebody by their actual biological sex. And I think a lot of people might think, oh, that's crazy, that's clown world, that's the upside down, that's never going to happen. It is very much on the rise, this sort of ideology, and people are actively working to make this a reality where you will be arrested, fined, have to do community service for having misgendered somebody. They are working to qualify this as a hate crime, where if somebody has evidence or you have witnesses who have seen you do this to somebody, you could very well be charged with a hate crime. Are we seeing how insane that is? This is really commitment to the bit on behalf of trans ideology. They are really committed to the bit if they're willing to jail people for misgendering others. You know how full that jail is going to be? I'll be there. I will be there 100%. Taylor's going to be there too.
Yeah, I'll be there. J.K. Rowling will be there with us. She's already on the record saying that she'd happily do jail time if it came down to it, and she had to affirm the reality of biological sex. That'd put her in prison. This is a good development, though, because in this case where the rubber has kind of met the road and someone has appealed to the law, right? This Willoughby invoked and said, based on the Equality Act or whatever, that she should be prosecuted with a hate crime. And like you read, and I read a little bit further, and there was apparently this case called the Forstater ruling that I read about in The Guardian, in which they basically, the UK's High Court ruled that the Equalities Act actually protects gender critical views under free speech. And I guess that's what we're categorizing, acknowledging biology or saying that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, that qualifies as gender critical speech and under UK law. And so that is not necessarily a criminal offense. So I guess it is good that Willoughby was wrong on the merits, and that we now have it more public that you can use your free speech to espouse truth, aka gender critical views in this regard. And J.K. has been the vessel of that. And it is scary, though, to think that what if the reverse were true? What if Willoughby were right and she was actually prosecuted with a hate crime in this case and even imprisoned? But just the instinct also, can we just say, to say, you hurt my feelings, you didn't have the views that I like when it comes to gender. You didn't use the words that I want you to use when it comes to how I want to be referred to. So I'm going to call the police and report you and try to get you in prison. Like, once upon a time, you know, we taught that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. You learn to hash out your differences and your offenses with other people in public, in, you know, against them, but to cry, you know, mommy, they hurt my feelings, and then have daddy government come in and into with the punishment. It's just weak sauce, and it just underscores the fact that we need to be very firm in defending things like free speech, so that people who wish to deprive us of those and impose their views via law are not allowed to do so.
100%. And we talked about this a little while back on the show, probably months ago, where I told you guys straight up, I do not believe in the premise of a hate crime, and I do not believe in hate speech. And these ideas need to be contested. Quite frankly, they need to be abolished, because look at the slippery slope that we are now on, where you can misgender misgender somebody and possibly be placed in jail, on probation, get community service, get fined for doing so. Hate crimes and hate speech, in my world, in my mind, do not exist. They simply don't, because who gets to define what hate means? And what is the difference between a crime motivated by hate and a crime that is not motivated by hate? How can you differentiate the two? It makes absolutely no sense to tack on an extra charge for a hate crime or hate speech, because we have no idea of getting a handle on who gets to decide what hate actually is. And if you're looking at this J.K. Rowling story and thinking that's a big win, she's not going to jail, she's not getting fined, yes, it's a big win for J.K. Rowling, but this next story is going to blow your mind, and it happened here in the United States of America. Let's read the headline. Portland bartender convicted of a hate crime for misgendering confronting male who used the women's bathroom. Mind you, this says convicted of a hate crime. So it says a Portland bartender has been found guilty on a hate crime and harassment charges for misgendering and physically confronting a trans-identified biological male who had been using the women's restroom. On Wednesday in Multnomah County Circuit Court, they found Casey McIntyre, 40, guilty of second-degree bias crime and harassment following a two-day jury trial. Judge Christopher Marshall sentenced McIntyre to 2 years of probation and 50 hours of community service, per the Oregonian. It says McIntyre was accused of misgendering and physically shoving 35-year-old Reese Larson, a transgender-identified biological male who self-described Marxist, who uses pronouns that include she, her, her, theirs, during a confrontation that turned physical at the Selwood Bar on December 27th of 2022. Now, should this bartender have gone and shoved the individual that she was confronting? Absolutely not. So right there, you're looking at an assault charge, although I don't know the circumstances of the back and forth and what led to the shove, so I can't exactly speak on that. But to tack on an extra charge for hatred and bias because this person was misgendered in the process is absolutely ridiculous. Now, we're going to go through the circumstances of what happened here, at least what the postmillennial says. McIntyre, a bartender at Selwood Bar, had just completed her shift and sat down to have a drink when she reportedly heard patrons complaining that Larson had cut in line to use the woman's single-stall restroom and pushed other patrons in the process, court documents show. Larson testified in court on Tuesday that she was physically confronted by McIntyre upon exiting the women's restroom. Larson claimed that McIntyre had cornered her and told her that she, quote, was a man, end quote, and needed to use the men's restroom. Larson said she attempted to explain her, quote, gender identity, end quote, to McIntyre, but was shoved by the bartender and told to, quote, get out, end quote. Video surveillance footage from inside the establishment showed McIntyre shoving Larson, but did not pick up the audio. So we have no idea what was said. Now, the woman who is convicted of the hate crime in this instance testified that she didn't really understand what misgendering even meant, and that Larson had to look up the definition of transgender in the dictionary. Now, I don't know that that's true, given it was 2022 at the time, and there is considerable general knowledge on transgenderism, but I guess you have to take somebody at their word, and there's no way to confirm or deny whether or not she would have known what that was. Now, it says, quote, Cassie McIntyre says, I wasn't trying to misgender her. I had to look up what transgender was in the dictionary. We were just arguing over spilt milk. Now, the transgender individual in this instance told the court that she left the establishment in tears, aka he left the establishment in tears, and called 911 later that night. So this led, of course, to the arrest of this woman for the hate crime. And it says, quote, that Larson, this is what the judge told the jury, or the lawyer told the jury in their closing arguments, that the transgender individual, quote, is scrutinized in a different way than most of us in our day-to-day lives are scrutinized. People sometimes express disagreement with not what she says or what she does, but who she is. Now, insane that this person is now facing 2 years probation and 50 hours of community service. And now this Cassie McIntyre, who's been convicted, is saying that they're going to try to find an LGBT charity to go and serve their 50 hours of community service to absolve themselves of what they done to this transgender individual and this hate crime that was committed. Be so for real right now. I can understand at the very least some sort of assault charge maybe for having shoved somebody, although I don't know the in and outs of the altercation and whether or not it was warranted or it was in defense of something. But to tack on a hate crime onto this for telling the truth and calling somebody what they are is wild. And I wonder what would have happened if this person didn't shove the trans woman in this instance, and the trans woman later called and said, oh, you know, no hands were put on me, but she misgendered me. Would we still be dealing with this instance of this person being convicted of a crime that is motivated by hatred and bias? This is a very dangerous precedent set, and we should all be shocked that this is happening in the United States of America. Of course, it's in Portland, duh. Like, out of all places where this is going to occur, Portland is the hot spot for this sort of idiocy, quite frankly. But, y'all, not good. Not good. Imagine how far this goes for people who are just acknowledging reality.
Yeah, and then this is an evidence of how far it's gone. Like, in saner times, this woman would be able to claim self-defense, right? You're in a safe space for women, a women's bathroom, and you come upon somebody who apparently you deem to be a male in that space, who's physically larger than you. You don't necessarily know what their motive is for being in that space. Again, back in saner times, whenever we had a clear distinction between men and women and were allowed to say that, then of course you feel physically threatened, and to respond to that threat in a way where the article that I read, it characterized it as a light shove. They said it was on video. I don't think it was this massive, you know, act of violence that would constitute a major form of assault. I'm sure there's, you know, legal nuance there. Mm-hmm. But even so, you see how far we have gone from reality, where a woman who feels threatened in the restroom by a presence of someone who appears to be a male acts in a way that would be consistent with someone who feels physically threatened and is deemed to be the perpetrator in the scenario. Like, yeah. Who's the victim here? And instead, it is the male who entered the female restroom who it leaves in tears because their feelings got hurt. They were never under the actual threat of physical harm in any serious way. I mean, one can presume, I guess you could say I'm reading into this a little bit, but let's just, you know, again, in saner times, this would just be a straightforward analysis of the situation. And it said they get to call the police on the woman over this shove that they experienced in a woman's bathroom, and that woman gets convicted of a hate crime. So in some ways, the insanity is worse over here in the U.S., where things like this happen, things like parents having their rights to their children taken away if they don't support their child's transition in California, as we've seen. So some of these state laws are proving to be more tyrannical and more apt to encode this gender ideology into law and have people in positions of power like this activist judge who are proponents of this ideology and are willing to use their authority, their legal authority, to prosecute people who commit quote unquote hate crimes on the basis of, again, what is this ideology. So yeah, insane people are running the asylum in this case, and it is already severe, but it is a harbinger of even more severe and crazy things to come.
Yeah, just imagine being on probation and you have to like go see an officer or whatever and do regular check-ins and your offense is calling a man a man. And mind you, I understand that she shouldn't have shoved this person, and it was a single stall restroom. So it's like, okay, how much harm could have actually been committed? And you might have started something that didn't need to be started. But she was working at this bar and was told by other patrons that this person had shoved them and cut them in line to go to the women's bathroom. So clearly there's an issue happening here, and she confronted it in the wrong way. But again, to tack on that extra charge for hatred or bias is ridiculous. So meanwhile, while we have people like J.K. Rowling being reported to the police for a hate crime, people like Cassie McIntyre being actually convicted of a crime and sentenced to probation and community service. Let's take a look at some of these headlines that involve women who have apparently committed crimes. And you tell me if you notice something interesting about them. This one says, woman arrested in Oxford for bomb threats. Interesting. That woman has a full on beard and looks extremely, extremely masculine. Next one. Woman jailed after stabbing and falsely imprisoning partner in Halifax. This woman also has a beard and looks extremely masculine, in fact. Next one. Woman jailed over cocaine-fueled sex with a dog in disgusting incident. Again, 5 o'clock shadow on this one, not quite a beard, and seemingly some sort of wig on, looking extra masculine. In fact, I might go as far as to speculate that these have all three been men. And number four, ex-soldier exposed, listen to this, ex-soldier exposed her penis and used wheelie bin as sex toy in public. And again, looking hella masculine there. And these are no isolated incidents. We, of course, discussed on this show a woman who was arrested for murdering a man and had also been caught live streaming the torture of a cat, in which she placed the cat in a blender. And that woman was looking awfully masculine as well. These are all biological men committing heinous crimes that are most often committed by men, and then they're being labeled as women and she, her, hers by the media and press. Y'all.
I'm pretty sure the third one we've seen is the same one that we reacted to that video where they were in the mall, like sucking on a baby bottle. It looks very familiar, very similar. Even if not, it's more yet another example. Yeah. But doesn't that look like her or him?
It kind of does, but I think that actually is a separate. That's a separate instance. So here's what you're going to have is a bunch of predatory men and mentally ill men who identify as women who are going to go off to commit crimes like this. And suddenly, what are they going to be counted as female crimes? Watch as the rate for like females murdering people skyrockets and like women perpetrators of rape skyrockets as we become more and more delusional and biological men continue to commit crimes. Now, this is not to completely like dog on the trans community. I'd venture to say that a lot of these men are not actually trans, and they're taking advantage of a very predatory open door where they can commit crimes and then identify as female, hoping to maybe get into a female facility or a female prison or to get more leniency in their charges and while they are in court. We saw that in the case of Hannah Tubbs, which is one not featured here, which was a man convicted of sexually assaulting a little girl in a Denny's bathroom who was also accused of sexually assaulting two other little children who then, you know, raised his hand and said, I identify as Hannah Tubbs. And because of this transgender identity was granted leniency in their sentence and was actually placed in a juvenile jail facility at the ripe age of 26 years old. Hannah Tubbs went on to make phone calls from this juvenile facility to his father, bragging about the assault of his victim, making fun, making crass remarks about the victim, who I believe was 10 years old, and bragging about the leniency that he received in his sentencing. If you guys don't think that predatory men are going to take advantage of what is an obviously huge loophole in the criminal justice system, I don't know what to tell you, because we're getting example after example after example. I could do this whole episode, you know, just riddling off new examples of this happening. And on International Women's Day, doesn't it feel great to be a woman if we can even answer what that is?
And I'm reminded, Amala, of your question when we reacted to that video of the feminists debating each other on Jubilee, mm-hmm. that when confronted with the loophole that this creates and the access that potential men who want to exploit their access to women's private spaces by being able to self-ID as trans. The female activist who was in support of trans ideology and in support of allowing people to use the bathroom that corresponds to their gender said that the best thing that we can do is to tell the victims to report it after it happens. That's right. All you can do in this situation. And she's somebody, if I recall, who worked with the victims of sexual assault as her profession. But that was the best she had to offer. Not that we should close the obvious loophole that's created by this ideology when you say that if you declare yourself a woman, you get to enter women's spaces. Of course, that's something, you know, blinking red lights that's going to appeal to predators. But no, we shouldn't close a loophole. We should just tell people to report their assault after it happens. Just the utter insanity and blinders that you have to have on to be so committed to this ideology that you are willing to suffer harm to actual women in their private spaces, just so you don't have to admit that this gender ideology stuff is not correct.
Yep. Insane. And they laughed at the prospect of men being placed in women's facilities whilst they're in prison, which is a very vulnerable position to be in as a woman or as a man. And to have men infiltrate that space under the guise of identifying as women should be, I honestly should constitute yet another crime. Tack on more charges to whoever decides or tries to do that. And somebody reminded me in the comments, thank you for that, that Hannah Tubbs was also later convicted of killing somebody, killing a man. And I believe by bashing his head in with a rock. Does that typically sound like the crime of a woman to you? Absolutely not. And I know that women commit heinous crimes and can be violent, but these things are not typical. And when we see story after story after story of men committing these crimes under the guise of identifying as women, we should be standing up to this and calling out the institutions that are allowing this to happen, calling out the media for their false reporting. And the slippery slope that has now been created on behalf of this whole ideology and agenda where you could now be punished for the act of misgendering somebody is nuts. Now, that's not the only story of somebody getting convicted of a crime for expressing their opinion. This guy, who we're going to look at now, Samuel Melia, 34 years old, was just sentenced to 2 years in prison by a judge in Leeds. His crime, posting offensive stickers. And here's the sticker in question here. And this is a white guy. The sticker says, "We will be a minority in our homeland by 2066. This was apparently a super offensive sticker. He was accused of white supremacy, being a Nazi, whilst also being an anti-Semite. Apparently they went to his house and did some sort of search, and they found that maybe he had a Hitler poster or something like that in his house. Now he's being accused of being an anti-Semite. He's being accused of posting these offensive stickers, and he's now been sentenced to 2 years of prison. 2 years of prison for having ideas. Now let's get into this. This is not, by no means, my endorsement of anti-Semitism. I have no idea if this guy actually is an anti-Semite, as there doesn't seem to be much basis for putting him in prison for 2 years. But even if somebody was, and even if somebody had this opinion that I do not personally endorse, there is no reason to place that person in jail. I'm standing 10 toes down being anti this premise of a hate crime or hate speech. You are allowed to have opinions that other people don't agree with. You are allowed to have opinions, yes, that are motivated by personal hate or disdain that you may have for people. You are allowed. I might not appreciate those opinions. I might not support those opinions. That does not mean that you should be placed in prison for 2 years for harboring said opinions, writing them on stickers, and posting them on a wall or a pole somewhere. And mind you, the sticker that he is being, accused of offensively posting, again, says, "We will be a minority in our homeland by 2066. And I'm assuming he means that just white people in general are going to be a minority in their homeland by 2066. Is that incorrect? I'm sorry. I'm reading this as a biracial person. I'm pretty sure, like, scientists are widely accepting of the fact that over time, all human beings are essentially going to look like me because we're mixing, you know, people are immigrating all over the world. There's a ton of stuff happening. And if he writes a sticker that says we will be a minority in our homeland by 2066, what is incorrect about that? Now, people are going to argue that it gives some sort of sentiment towards a white supremacist ideology, but I don't hear them saying the same thing when people are saying black is beautiful, you need to stick with a black queen, you need to date within your race, black people need to, you know, build up and become more of the population. You can say that for any other race. But as soon as you say we'll be a minority in our homeland by 2066, you get 2 years in jail for expressing white supremacist sentiments. Y'all, this is targeting. This is targeting. This is targeting of ideas. This is targeting of freedom of speech. And whether or not you agree with his ideas, whether or not you stand by his sentiments, it doesn't matter. He should be allowed to have them. And I, you know, widely support people being able to share horrible ideas, because the way that you disinfect the world of horrible ideas is by allowing them to see the sun and allowing people to combat and contest them. Not that I'm really all that much in contest to the idea that, you know, it's possible that white people will be a minority sometime in the future. If not possible, probable. That's okay to say out loud. That's okay to share with people. And even if people disagree or don't like it, you have every right to think, feel, and speak in that way.
And to your point, what's there to disagree with? It is just a simple observation. I'm not familiar with the demographic research on UK demography projections coming soon, so I can't say whether it was a factual statement or not. Mm-hmm. But even so, it's a statement that is relatively neutral. It's not saying, and this is a bad thing or anything like that. Now, of course, there's subtext there, but even so, that shouldn't be something that is prosecutable. At worst, maybe he's posting false information, but that in and of itself is also not necessarily a lie, just putting something exactly on a sticker and putting it out there. So, or something illegal. So it's just silly. It's reminiscent of in the COVID era when people were banned or punished in other means, having their accounts taken away, accused of spreading misinformation, slandered with conspiracy labels for saying things like the vaccine doesn't stop you from spreading the virus or could cause injuries or things like that. And just the amount of crackdown was so alarming that people are just not allowed to say things that turn out to be true and are not necessarily have all these other beliefs or agendas attached to that, but literally just trying to advocate for true information to be out there and part of the public conversation. And again, that's not absolving this guy of any hateful beliefs that he may harbor. I wouldn't endorse those or agree with those, but this is why free speech is important. It allows us to be truth seeking as a society and to contend with ideas, good or bad, when they are posited into the world. Whenever you have an orthodoxy that is enforced by law, that you're only allowed to espouse certain ideas, that's when you get into totalitarianism and all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that they're accusing this guy of being a fascist, which may or may not be true, while actively acting like fascists. Just make it make sense. It's crazy, the sort of clown world we're living in. Out of the three stories we talked about today, J.K. Rowling is the only one who got out without a scratch. So this means that normal people who are not, you know, celebrities, who don't have 14 million followers, are the ones who are really going to be bearing the burden of sharing these sort of beliefs out loud, whether or not we agree with the beliefs or not. Now, this next video we're going to cover is a belief that I don't agree with, and it stands within this LGBTQ realm that we've been talking about today. This is a teacher who is defending having rainbow flags in the classroom. Now, do I think this woman should be jailed for sharing her opinion? Absolutely not, even though I vehemently disagree with what she is about to say. Let's watch.
I use she, her pronouns, and I've been a first grade teacher for 16 years. I'm here in support of this bill to make rainbow flag bans prohibited. What does a rainbow flag mean to my students, my classroom? Here are some words from my first grade babies. It means my teacher will stand up for me. It looks like the flags at my house, so I feel home. It means we all are here together. My students feel the importance of windows and mirrors. I want every child, family, and staff member to have a clear visual of inclusion and safety in the community I build. We know students, families, and staff members need to feel safe in order to learn, thrive, and continue to share their talents with us. My rainbow flag stands for welcoming spaces, trust, resilience, compassion, joy, collaboration, and community without judgment. And don't we all want that for all kids? I will always have agency to represent all communities in my classroom. It's important my students see their own and their family's identities in my space. Whether that includes our mural of Black excellence, our land acknowledgement written with some of our Native families, or my rainbow flag stating you are loved. My students, especially those whose stories are often left out, must feel represented and important, and it seems absurd that someone could take away that humanity from my students. So a piece of clarity from a former first grader, now 18, who still comes back to my safe space. Our rainbow flag means we'll always belong. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you very much for coming today and for your testimony.
Okay. So you guys heard that defense of rainbow flags in the classroom and shared under the guise of supporting all children from all different backgrounds and identities, I guess, except if you're white, I guess, except if you're conservative and you don't share the same ideology as a pride flag or Black excellence or acknowledging stolen land from Indigenous people. Notice how all the different acceptance that she shows for different students' ideology falls through the lens of leftism and wokeism and is to the exclusion of people who may disagree with that. This is why classrooms are meant to be neutral grounds. If you truly wanted to make every student feel accepted, you would have no rainbow flag, no Black excellence flag, no acknowledgement of stolen Indigenous land or Indigenous people. You would allow all students to congregate in one classroom where you teach them the basics of education as she is meant to, and leave the ideology, the agenda, the indoctrination to parents who want to bestow that upon their children. It is not your job as a teacher, especially a teacher who is apparently teaching 7-year-olds. She's teaching 6- and 7-year-olds and saying that it is an imperative that they get to express their LGBTQ identification in school. This is not the place. I keep seeing ad after ad after ad for homeschooling, guys, and I can't imagine sending my kid to a public school at this point with what is going on and how these teachers feel the need to step up and take what is a parent's responsibility and, quite frankly, a parent's right, although I guess we don't believe in that these days, to espouse their own ideology to children and teach them something that I think many children within that class may not agree with. Now, it doesn't matter if you as a teacher personally support pride and Black excellence and all these different things. It is not your position to take in the classroom. You are meant to just teach them what you were hired to teach. But I guess now this stuff is infiltrating the curriculum as well. So you're quite frankly, teachers are being hired to teach this stuff in class to 7-year-olds. Seven.
And again, this is an example, like the activist judge who used his or her, I believe, authority to indict and issue an arrest warrant for the woman who felt threatened in the bathroom. And now you have teachers who have authority in their classrooms who are espousing these views and doing what really amounts to indoctrination. If you're teaching this stuff to 7-year-olds, like, we're called tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists for saying this kind of stuff's going on, but this is happening on the record, giving testimony to why she wants to promote this ideology in her classroom. And I saw a really interesting insight from James Lindsay on this. He says she gives it away. She says the pride flag in the classroom means you are loved. It means you are loved here and not other places. Mm-hmm. This is a tool for breaking children from their families and society into cult communities. She also invokes psychological safety, the need to feel safe in order to learn. Inclusion policies only make people who have just started to accept the dogma and its facilitators feel safe, though. People outside it aren't safe. So just, you can see the mechanics of cult indoctrination in what she's laying out. we need to have these banners and these symbols of the ideology in order to make children feel safe. And she's, of course, if she's saying that in testimony, that's kind of what she's teaching to the kids, and that this is the place you can trust me, you can trust us, the people who will affirm you. We're your real family. Those people out there who don't affirm the what you're being taught out here, they're the threat to you. And you can just see the mechanics of indoctrination playing out before your eyes. And yeah, it is so frightening. And like you said, this is a great advertisement to get your kids out of public school and get them homeschooled.
100%. And Megan Reese says in the comments on YouTube, she also called them her, quote, first grade babies. Very telling. Freudian slip, y'all. Freudian slip. Indeed. I never understood, you know, when I was in school and you had kind of those PTA parents who were a little helicoptery and they're always showing up to school and meeting the teachers, and you're like, oh, damn, it's a little bit too active in your kid's education. Maybe you need to step back a little bit. Boy, do I understand those parents now. You know, as you get older, you're like, oh, things are starting to line up. Things are starting to make sense. And it's way worse now than it ever would have been when I was in school. So I don't know. If my kids for some reason end up having to receive a public education, I'm sorry. I'm going to wear a helicopter hat. I'm going to be buzzing around that school.
Be strapping a body cam to your kid before you send them to school.
I mean,
have like a
real
full-on 20-minute, questionnaire, interview, regular check-ins with teachers. I want to know what's going on in that classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be stealth about it. I won't try to bother my kid or whatever, but every single teacher is getting interviewed. Every single teacher. You know, I might have to just pose as a leftist and see if I can figure out who's who in the classroom, because nope, it's not happening. When you really think about the amount of time that kids spend in the education system, it's a lot. I mean, you guys sleep for 8 hours a day. Okay, you have 16 hours left. Let's say another 7 to 8 of those hours are spent at school. So that's a good portion of the day. You come home and you get to see your kid after work or whatever it is that you're doing. You get a few hours with them. You get dinner with them. And then they're off to bed. So effectively, they're spending more time at the school than they are with you as parents. And if you think that the small, you know, window of time that you have to influence your child is going to do more than the 8 hours that they're receiving in school, it's wishful thinking, I think, and you hope that your relationship with them, you know, extends over whatever indoctrination they may be receiving in school, but you better double, triple check that what's going on in the school before you make that assertion, because that's a lot of time to be spending in a place that is the antithesis to the values that you're trying to teach at home. I think the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics said like the average family in America is spending like less than an hour of meaningful time with their kids. Now, I hope that's not the case for you all listening now who have children and you're taking as much time as you possibly can out of your day to spend time with them, to talk about their days, to talk about the different influences in their lives, not from an like interrogation perspective, but just getting to know your children and building a solid relationship with them, because the families who aren't, and they're gonna get this. I guarantee they're building, you know, stronger relationships at school if you're spending less than an hour with your children every single day just talking about what's going on in their lives. Double, triple, quadruple check. Because
yeah, it makes me think also of the conversation we've had about screen time and tablet kids, and just, you know, I'm sure that could be contributing to time that parents aren't spending with kids. But this whole conversation just makes me sad as someone who, I went to public school in elementary school in the late 90s, to date myself along with my graying beard here. But I just have such fond memories of my teacher wearing corny pumpkin sweaters around Halloween and decorating the classroom with little ghosts and witches and exchanging Valentines in those days, and people's moms bringing in cupcakes when it's their birthday, and the teacher sitting us down and reading books to us, and just like I just have like educational memories and fun sort of community bonding memories in elementary school. And there was certainly no effort to try to impose a certain worldview on us. It was just there was a reverence for the fact that these are it's not my children that I'm here to indoctrinate to my views, but just it's my job as an educator to create a safe space in a learning environment and foster learning and community and growth and do the best I can. And there was just such a high, simple respect for that principle and a high level of trust as a result that was just baked into it to where I don't think my parents made a bad decision or a responsible decision at all sending us to public school based right. on the way our society and culture was back then. And somehow in the course of the last 20 or 30 years, we have just lost that entirely, as far as I can tell. And that's such a lamentable thing. And I feel sorry because there are many, just the de facto reality that people rely on public school because they can't afford private school. They have to be working. They 100%. Can't homeschool, et cetera. And if this is the default option for students in the modern era of America, I fear for what that implies for our country.
Yeah, man, I always say this, but when I was in school, we didn't know jack shit about our teachers. If I saw them out in a restaurant, I was like, whoa, you actually have a real life outside of school? Like, you're married, you do stuff outside of school. I saw my math teacher drinking a martini and I was like, what is going on? Like, that was shocking. Now it's like, you know your teacher's sexual identity, you know their gender identity, they have pride flags, you know who they voted for, you know their entire political history, you know every personal thought that they have about themselves, and they're encouraging you to refer to them as like certain pronouns. This was not my experience in the public education system, and I had a wonderful public education. I don't know if y'all did DBQs when you were in school, those little packets that you get that give you like little snapshots of history that you're meant to interpret and write an essay about your opinion at the end, but we were highly encouraged, at least where I went to school and received my public education, to have a variety of ideas, to find unique ways to interpret American history. It could be left-leaning, it could be right-leaning. We were encouraged to, like, each student have like a unique idea, and the basis of our education was to be handed facts in whatever we could find objectively, and then we could interpret that through our own minds and use our own critical thinking skills to come to a conclusion. And you would hope that there would be a variety of different conclusions, because it gives you more to work with as a student. It gives you different ways to look at the same document or the same picture or the same piece of history, and it shows you that there really is a variety of different perspectives, as there always been throughout history. And to not have that anymore, or to encourage students to have one frame of mind and one political opinion and write the same thing over and over and over again, as many people are doing now in middle school and high school, elementary school, college, it's such a disservice to students. It's such a disservice to building critical thinking skills. And it really is going to just handicap the next generation that that comes after us. I see you guys commenting. Michelle says DBQs haunt me. I remember every time my teacher announced we were going to get a DBQ, it was like, damn, I got to read through this. I got to interpret it. I got to write a 1,000-word essay after this. Mm-hmm. And it has to be unique. There was, it was a stressful period in my young adult life. But oh my gosh, do I look back on it so fondly in seeing the current state of education for young students. Wowza.
I had the DBQs as well. I remember I did AP US History, and it does. It's a test of your reading comprehension, and it's an exercise of that. And then you have to take that and then generate your own new ideas associated with it, analysis, and then make an argument and outline it and then put it in an essay form. It's a great exercise in critical thinking. And I can only hope that more and more parents and more people start to see this, and there becomes a demand. I know a lot of states are adopting school choice now, and there's movements for like classical based education and little, you know, micro schools and things like that. So hopefully the demand is such that coalesces into making the default more something that teaches kids not what to think, but how to think, and the focus is on that again. I feel like we're very black-pilled on this topic, but I mean, gosh, it is so nakedly just obvious that of what is happening and how harmful and regressive it would be to only make school centers of indoctrination, that we might have a solution in the future. Hopefully, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember having like maybe one political teacher once, and they would like hit you over the head with their politics, but that was like atypical. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, he's a little quirky teacher. He's a little like, you know, he's a little off. And then now it's like most teachers are that way, and you are blessed if you get one teacher who's normal. So weird. Guys, we're going to get into your super chats and hear from you guys on these different subjects.
All right. We saw lots of comments pouring in. The polls were very lopsided today, by the way. I asked if misgendering should be a hate crime, and it was like 99% to 1%.
Whoa. So
we have a based audience today.
Yeah.
Or we're just reached such levels of clown world that it's just patently obvious. People can't even disagree on it. Guess who our first super chatter is today?
Daniel Santana.
And he says,
Happy Friday.
Hey, you called it.
Happy Friday, Daniel. We appreciate
That's
you.
That's special whenever you don't even have to read the name.
Don't even
we
have
know.
To say it, guys.
Thanks, Daniel. Taylor Fan Club says, we need International Women's Day to remind these dodo birds what a woman is and the creations and uniqueness they bring to our world. Lead the charge, General Epinobi. Your forces are behind you.
Yeah. We're not getting much of that on International Women's Day. I'm trying, but I think we're losing the plot. I think we have, in fact, lost the plot. This is when I tell you these stories are actually so crazy to me that people are getting arrested and charged for these things. I'll see y'all in the jail. Hopefully I get a cool cellmate, because hopefully it's not a man who identifies as a woman as my cellmate.
Oh goodness.
Gosh.
There's no escaping even in jail.
No, I'm gonna start jiu-jitsu classes now for my impending doom.
Setma Dude says, I wonder what the suffragettes and early feminists would think about their hard work and dedication eventually leading to this gender nonsense. They'd probably be like, these crazy hoes be wildin'.
I feel like 100%. I don't think a lot of people think about that, like, the suffragettes in their time would have been extremely conservatively minded. And I can't speak for all of them, of course, but just the general sentiment of the time, you know, makes clear to me that they would not be behind a lot of what's going on right now, even though they're so often used as a foundation to some of these arguments.
Wazakule says, hey guys, gotta give props to Taylor. I feel like you don't get complimented enough. I don't. No, I'm just kidding. I get complimented plenty, but thank you. You're a base Christian and there aren't many out there. Keep being nuanced.
I see
I'll
people
take
are...
it if that means nuanced. Some people by base Christian think it's like the like, I don't know, Christians who conflate Christianity with politics and being hardcore, beating people over the head with right-wing stuff. And I like that you said keep being nuanced. I will take that as a compliment.
There you go. You're also getting lots of compliments on the beard.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, thank you guys. It's gonna be hard to let go of the more y'all
hype it up.
And my wife in particular. She's like, I think I said this, but she keeps showing me pictures of me like pre-beard. And she's like, you look like such a child. So now I'm insecure about my normal face. So
funny.
Thanks.
Oh, no.
Monty Jose says, so if we arrest someone for misgendering, we should arrest for calling someone a B word, unless they actually identify as a dog. Not that I'm for the use of this word or offensive language, but MIMS.
There we go. This is what happens. If you're going to accuse somebody of a hate crime, what does it mean to, you know, do something motivated by hate? If somebody calls me the B word, is that not, you know, motivated by hate in some way, shape or form? If they push me and say you're a B word, that's technically a hate crime. I don't understand how you can create a whole segment of like an extra conviction for what, marginalized or protected identities. Shouldn't every identity be a protected identity if that's the sort of language we're going to be using, if that's the sort of ideology we're going to be using? Therefore, anything that is done with malicious intent is technically a hate crime. It's so dumb. It's so dumb, guys. We can't.
Yeah, you see, I mean, people troll online and call certain politicians' wives that they look like a man, or, you know, the classic, like she had man hands or whatever. Is that going to be hate crimes according to the same logic? It's misgendering in some way?
Abolish it.
Get out of here.
Abolish it.
Straight to jail. Just put me in the matrix, says, hey there, A and Tay. Never thought I'd have to go to jail someday just to find normal, real women because I misgendered someone. Unbelievable.
Dude. For real. See, y'all, somebody said the jail's gonna be lit. The jail is gonna be lit.
So I think Alex Wood could identify as a woman to be put in a woman's prison.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Then they can't escape you.
Exactly. Oh,
Love All Serve All says, hi, Amal and Taylor. So happy to see you live. I personally like Women's Day. It's an excuse to shower my female family members with flowers.
There you go. You know what? Good for you. Good. At least you're actually doing something for the women on Women's Day. I'll take it.
Yeah. No hate there.
No hate there.
Bloke with Superpowers says, I'm not going to use your made-up pronouns in the same way that if I speak to a schizophrenic, I'm not going to talk to their imaginary friend.
Yeah, okay, so then it's like, what happens when we fall out of the typical pronouns now that are like she, her, hers, and he, him, and then you have somebody who wants to be referred to as they, and you don't refer to them as they, you refer to them as she or him. What if we take it to neo-pronouns, and they want like ze, zim, zur, or whatever, and you don't refer to them as such? Is that also a hate crime that you can now be put in jail for? What if somebody wants to be referred to as Lorax or Lorax self, as we've seen on TikTok? Do you now get to be jailed for referring to them by what they actually are? Wild.
Make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
Maggie the antagonist says, can I please get a pin with which indicates which pronouns I'm willing to use? Mine would say she, her, he, him, and they, them. My max for inclusion, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have a full book full of pronouns at some point. We already do, to be honest, but yeah, I'm not, I refuse.
Yeah. No pin for me. No they, thems for me. That's a concession to the ideology, right? On principle, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it's like every so often.
I can be kind, but...
Yeah. And to just stop confusion sometimes. Like if I'm listening to a group of like 10 trans people talk to each other, I'm not going to like go back to what you guys would be so confused if I was going back to their original sex to refer to them and explain what's happening. So sure, I'll use your preferred pronouns. But that is... my choice. I make that on a personal level, and I am not 100% adherent to that, and by no means should be punished for not doing it or making the choice not to.
Tobin Theron says, hey, Amala and Taylor, so happy I caught your live. Just wanted to say hi. Also, well done on your Piers Morgan interview. Such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you. That was certainly a fun one to do and go toe-to-toe with some leftists on some topics that you guys know I'm very, very passionate about. So thank you so much.
I just got to say, to each their own, Tobin Theron. Tobin Theron is here in the chat today.
Love
that. One more from Monty Jose says, crazy things crop up in my psychology textbooks. Woke ideology is being presented as fact without substantiation. I'm thankful for being at GCU.
Yeah, it makes you think so much about who wrote your textbooks, or like at least the ones that we got to experience in class. Like, we know there's probably bias and propaganda injected into those, and now we're seeing it at a whole different level where this stuff is sort of being accepted as fact, and it's not. Think of all the kids who are in biology courses right now learning that gender is a spectrum and that you can be a man born with a female brain or a female born with a male one, and it's nonsense. It's nonsense. And they're learning it at a super young age as if it's fact. And then maybe going home to mom and dad who don't believe that and saying, well, not only did my teacher say that, but I read it in a textbook. So there's no way it's not real. I read it, you know, this is peer reviewed and published. There's no way it's not true, mom and dad. And how do you explain that to a child? How do you explain?
Mm-hmm. And yet again, it just shows the danger of these unfounded pseudoscientific ideas being put in places that have power, institutional cachet. I was just listening to Michael Schellenberger discuss the WPAF files that just came out, which we didn't get into today. But man, a lot of stuff just kind of exposing how this pseudoscientific stuff has entrenched itself and become the de facto sort of standard of care recommendation. And it's adopted by American Medical Association, American Psychological Association. They rely on expert organizations like WPAF, ATH, in medicine to say, yes, you should do what this group says. And that is a common practice in medicine. But these activists have been able to position themselves as the experts that all people who provide medical care in the United States and in other countries often look to and defer to on these issues when they're treating people. And the result has been these experimental procedures on children who cannot consent to them that end up robbing them of their fertility and bodily functions and making them lifelong medical patients, et cetera, as we've talked about. But it's just insanity. It's in psychological textbooks. It's endorsed by our medical associations. And you see the destruction in the wake. Bucks Dalla says, they lied to my mama on YouTube. African Americans for Trump are being silenced across all platforms. How do I get YouTube promoted?
Get YouTube promoted?
Yeah, I guess there's a group or band or something called African Americans for Trump, and it sounds like they made something called They Lied to My Mama, and it's being suppressed on YouTube. So
I've never heard of such a thing. I'd have to look into that first before we give sort of any promotion or endorsement.
But, you know, we know censorship's a thing.
Yes, we do. And YouTube is rife with it.
JSoul03 says, not sure if you have already, but do you think you'll talk about the activists trying to normalize minor trans persons in a future episode? All of these movements seem to be connected.
Yes, we actually have discussed that briefly on an episode prior to this. And I don't remember which one it was, but it was some sort of representative talking about child dolls for minor attracted persons, a.k.a. pedophiles. I'm sure it will be an ongoing discussion that we have on this channel. Don't worry. It's on the radar. It's definitely on the radar. Insane.
Mm-hmm. And I recall even a year or so ago, we reacted to another one of these activists first introduced the term minor attracted person. We did a whole reaction to that as well. So yeah, it'll be on the radar for sure. Yep. Natty A says, hey, Amala Taylor, has anyone ever told you that without the beard, you look like young Aiden Shaw from Sex and the City?
Aiden Shaw? Who's that?
I don't know who that is or what Aiden looks like.
I'm going to look it up. Let's see.
I want to say maybe someone said that before on this show, though.
Images. Let's get this. This guy?
Better be good looking.
I Amala recognize him from some other
model
stuff
that she knows the other day.
Yeah,
so
who's also named Taylor. I think you look more like the model that I said you look like.
I don't know.
Taylor.
This guy's like brown hair. Does he have blue eyes? That doesn't help that it's like a 50-year-old picture of him.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's hard to tell. Hard to tell, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, show him to me in his prime. And we'll talk. let's see. Another one from Natty says, transgender affirming surgery gets covered in California, but my breast reduction won't. This is in Los Angeles, by the way.
Yeah, dude. And you can even argue that the breast reduction actually, like, the status that you're in is impacting your health. That causes like back pain and like spinal problems and all this stuff, but you can't get help for that. And a kid who wants to lop their breasts off, that's legal. So it's crazy. It's a crime to misgender somebody, but it's not a crime to mutilate a child. Nuts.
Cray. And Mika Hilarious says, if misgendering becomes illegal, prison will become the place with the most normal people instead of the other way around.
Yeah, dude, it'll just slip. Talk about the prison industrial system. That'd be an interesting day.
Grimgero says, like the fall of Rome, bread and circuses, Western society is following in the path that ended their empire. The division and distraction prevents the people from standing united to end this lunacy.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. I'm just here for the ride, guys. Calling it like I see it, but I have no idea where this is going to go.
Yeah, I follow this account on Twitter called Yuri Bezmenov's Ghost, and he'll like quote tweet things when people are like, why are they pushing this minor attracted person stuff so much or whatever? And he'll just quote tweet it with like Yuri Bezmenov pointing to the chalkboard where it says destabilization or one of his
steps
to totalitarianism.
Awesome.
Jessica B says, I don't like having to say cis or biological before woman for it to not mean trans woman. I think just woman should mean biological woman, whereas trans woman should be the one to be specified. What are your thoughts?
I completely agree. I do not use the word cis. I will use the word biological just for clearer communication so that you guys understand exactly what it is I'm communicating to you, since woman takes on so many different, I guess, connotations these days. But I refuse. I will not use the word cis.
Yeah, when they're making war on words and the definition of words, then I guess some extra clarification is often required when they're called into question. But in principle, I agree with you that man should mean man, adult human male, and adult human female for woman. Just put me in the matrix, as I live in Minnesota. We don't claim that cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs 304 that was talking about rainbow flags. There's still a lot of sane people in Minnesota, just saying.
Yeah, I'm sure. There are sane people everywhere. And I don't claim that ideology either, clearly.
Yeah. Sally, I'm from Minnesota originally, my family is, and I think Minnesota suffers from the same thing that we see in a lot of places, which is like urban center is very blue, and a lot of the, you know, suburban and rural parts are much more conservative. But they seem to be voting blue these days. Natty A, oh, we just read that one. Might be JSoul03. My middle school teacher told me to come back after we moved on to high school to find out who he voted for. Stay in your lane, teachers.
Love that. Love that. Like, you guys can come back to me at any time when you're older and when you're no longer in my class, and I will let you know if it's really all that important to you. And probably 9 times out of 10, the students are not going to circle back on that, because who cares? I mean, like, we used to openly be able to, like, hold school elections where we would look at the two candidates and just from hopefully as unbiased as we could possibly be, go through their main points and be able to vote on behalf of ourselves as a class and discuss why we voted for this person. I don't know that I'd want students to do that in today's time with how these things go and how much hatred is behind who you want to vote for as president. Even at an age where you're not allowed to vote, this would probably become a super contentious thing within a school to be even able to discuss the two candidates and who you may or may not support. And that's very unfortunate, because we used to be able to do that openly in school and talk about why we believed what we believed.
Mm-hmm. And the teacher presiding is like fostering, you know, Socratic sort of argumentation and helping you guys debate and articulate your thoughts and your views. And that was the point. It wasn't to say one side is right, the other's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good prospect if we lose that.
Yeah, not.
Isaac Duke says, finally here for a live. Love episode with Taylor doing his Christian stuff. I'm a traditional Reformation believing Protestant. So proud of you, Taylor. I would subscribe to a Christian podcast. Wow, I'm getting lots of compliments today, I guess.
Yeah, you got to get on it. Get on your podcast.
I guess so. I know. It's
coming soon.
It's a grind here, guys. I've toyed with a few ideas and haven't gotten anything off the ground yet. But I guess I'm closer than I've ever been, and I'll keep you posted. I'm hopefully in the next couple of weeks, maybe I'll be publishing some kind of video or podcast. So stay tuned. But thank you for the support. That means a lot. Oaxaca says, just a decade ago, parents were all over teachers for setting forth expectations, correcting and reprimanding and misbehaving students. Now teachers are taking away kids' innocence and harming our kids.
Yep. Yeah, we're in a different time, y'all. I wonder what percentage of teachers are actually responsible for this, because I don't know that it's like fringe anymore, or if it is fringe, I would love to get like the breakdown of teachers that feel the need to actively pursue their own agenda in school, but I guess it's a hard thing to figure out.
Nortrum says, the society has reached the peak of decadence and the insanity keeps escalating. There's no limit to how far the parents will go to protect their kids as the government and people of authority keep pushing them into a corner.
Yeah, I just got to keep creating alternatives and working towards them and do that, you know, just push, continue.
I know. And it keeps being like, yeah, pick your dystopian novel that describes our current state. It's 1984, if it's Brave New World, the decadence and or pick your, like our previous super chatter, the fall of Rome. I mean,
The Giver.
It's not as though we don't have warnings for where we are. And yet it seemed like that hasn't slowed us at all from running straight off the cliff, but
100%.
Here we are. DeMarco Martin says, hey, y'all, I'm in pest control while in trade school, HVAC, and just wanted to show some love. I usually listen while I go through crawl spaces and dump rat bodies. Ooh. Much love to both of y'all.
Ooh, you're doing hard work. I couldn't do that. Oh, my gosh.
We need to send Mike Rowe to do an episode of Dirty Jobs
with
you.
We really do. Hit him up.
That is America's built on that kind of stuff. Man, I love it. Thank you for your work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's one of the cooler/grosser jobs that Indeed. Has been told to us, things people are doing while they watch, but I'm here for it.
Hopefully we're making it go smoother.
Yeah, respect. I'm glad you're doing that because I don't think I could stomach it. Jessica O'Shea says, great live today, guys. 100% agreed. How are both of you doing? Have a great weekend.
I'm doing great. Having a good time. As much as these stories are crazy, we're always having a good time.
I'm doing great as well. For this weekend, my wife picked International Women's Day, I think unwittingly. She said, there's this Italian place in town. I want to take you on a date. So I was like, wow. Okay. So we're going on a fancy date. And I don't know what the restaurant is, but that's how I'm celebrating International Women's Day. So
nice. Booyah. Very, very fun.
Yeah. Let's see. Anisha says, I always wanted to be like J.K. Rowling. She is the entire reason I landed on your doorstep. Now I'm doubling down on that. The woman is a heroine.
Yeah, she's really holding it down. I admire her, and I'm glad that she's just so straightforward and does not care who comes at her. She's going to fire right back at him.
And it's fitting that she knew how to write such a great hero's journey story.
Yep.
And can also live out heroism in her own life and mm-hmm. have the courage that she wrote so authoritatively about. Like, it kind of stands to reason that she's living it out. It's really cool. It just makes me more appreciative of her work.
Yeah, she's got a very cool story.
Let's see. Hazy Kuribo says, happy Friday. Just to share positivity, my mom's a second grade teacher in Cali who refuses all curriculum that indoctrinates children, and she hasn't been fired yet. Hey. So the fight isn't lost yet.
Round of applause. Beautiful. That's what I love to hear. I love to hear about the teachers who are holding it down.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of modern day heroes, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Props to your mom. Deanna Valling says, I just wonder if my parents were as scarred to let me out into the world as I am with my kids. The extremes we are living through are terrifying.
Yeah, it's hard. And you're going to have a balance because you don't want sheltered children. You want them to be able to experience the world. So hopefully you just armor them with enough critical thinking skills that they can be confronted with these ideas and know what's good and what is, you know, less than ideal and be able to defend themselves and have open conversations. That's my plan. I'm like, I'm not going to shelter my kids from the things that are happening in the world. I just want them to be well armored when they encounter them.
Mm-hmm. And like you said before, like spending time with them is critical and like mm-hmm. helping them process what they're going through.
Yeah.
And reconcile that to what you're teaching them at home, to what they're experiencing out in the world.
Yeah.
But you're an actual parent, so I'm sure you know that better than us. But yeah, you have my sympathy because it is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Fafo says, A&T, long time listener, first time super chatter. Have you awesome. Seen what the 304s are up to on IG?
Oh,
they
gosh.
Are pretending to nurse fake babies to promote their OnlyFans.
Yes, there's a lot of crazy, crazy pornographic content all over the internet. I'm not at all surprised that that is the case. It's just the new era that we're in right now. What people do about that, I have no clue. But somebody needs to work on getting that, hopefully, off Instagram.
Jail. Herb Disoriented said, what do you guys think about saying gender instead of sex? I don't think gender makes any sense, especially since it's basically just personality.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it's a very made up concept because it's so like widely used, it's largely become interchangeable. But at baseline, I try to use the word sex, although I may swap it for gender. But I think so long as you're effectively communicating, people know what it is that you're saying, and you're not really giving too much away to this new sort of gender wave that's happening right now by using that word, so long as you're using it within proper context.
Yeah, I heard an interesting take from Charlie Kirk, I think, that made me think when someone asked him about the gender question. He said there's zero genders, two sexes, and infinite personalities.
Yeah, right.
That's another interesting way to describe it, and more accurate than saying there's infinite genders. 100%. But my only qualm would be I don't like ceding words to activists, and gender existed before it was hijacked by activists as a word that simply refers to something that corresponds to sex. And now activists have just divorced the gender words man and woman from corresponding to biological sex. And I don't want to cede that ground to them. But I think it's probably more accurate to describe gender as something more like a personality than anything else. Let's see. Bloke with superpowers again says, you think this is nuts? I'm in the UK. A woman was arrested for reciting the Lord's Prayer in her head, not out loud. An actual thought crime. Nuts. Whoa. I didn't hear about that one.
I didn't hear about that. I'll have to look into that one. That's crazy. I'd have to look into the case on that and how that could be possible legally, reciting something in your head. How could you even prove that or substantiate that in a court of law? I'll have to read about that.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, we can't get all that detail in the super chat, but wild, it's a wild headline. Anisha says, in the Netherlands, we have always made a point of voting anonymous. So talking about who you vote for was never encouraged.
Yeah, I think it used to somewhat be that way in America. It was just like, oh, we just don't get into politics. Or if you do, it wasn't something that you'd be at somebody's throat for. It would just be, oh, agree to disagree. I would love to see the rate of marriages and relationships with people of differing political views over time and whether or not that's decreased. Because it seems like back in the day, a lot of people would be like, oh, I voted for this guy, I voted for the other guy, and they'd be married or in a long-term relationship. And now you would almost never hear of something like that happening. And I wonder what the trend is on a metric like that.
Yeah. And that was our last Super Chat of the day and of the week.
All right, guys. The week is over. We will have another video coming out tomorrow. And you guys requested that we react to a Jubilee video where a guy is pretending to be a woman and trying to trick a group of women into thinking he is one of them. So that'll be coming out tomorrow. That's a fun one. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode on International Women's Day, a.k.a. International Erasing Women's Day. Drop your thoughts on the different topics that we covered down below in the comments. As always, if you disagree with me, duke it out, but do so respectfully. And if you like this video, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos for you guys every single day. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.